When God created the world, He wanted humanity to care for and rule over the earth. He wanted Adam and Eve to multiply and to spread across the globe, transforming it into a paradise. But because of Adam's sin, humanity and creation were cursed, so that human beings and the creation itself became incapable of cultivating and sustaining the earthly paradise God desired. Why did Adam's sin have such terrible consequences for humanity and creation?
Well, when God created Adam and Eve, He did so in such a way that they were to be representative for the entire human race. In retrospect, from Romans 5, Paul gives a theological twist on that, that as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The point that he's alluding to, among others, is that Adam was a representative for the human race. So all of us, all of humanity, in the words of a Puritan, hangs on Adam's belt. He put it in a more 17th century way than that, but that's basically what he entailed. And therefore, the curse, the judgment that came not just upon Adam, but upon creation itself, so that labor became more difficult, the sweat of one's brow, and unproductivity, thorns and thistles and so on, the metaphors that are used in the book of Genesis, plus man's own personal fall, Adam's fall, and consequently humanity's fall, making it impossible for man to save himself. His will fell, his affections fell, his mind and thinking fell, the way he postulates a worldview fell with it. So there were consequences for the entirety of mankind and for the entirety of mankind's faculties as a result of that first transgression.
Humanity's fall into sin was in response, of course, to Adam's rebellion against God. Eve was tempted, Adam rebelled, and as a result of that, as God said, they died spiritually. Now, when they died spiritually, it separated them from God. And of course, God is the source of all life. In that separation, they no longer could have intimate fellowship with God. That resulted in their own lives of separating from themselves. And what we see in Genesis chapter 3 is Adam hiding from God. There's a sense of guilt and shame, and so there's a separation from himself. There's also in that passage a separation from one another that comes from Adam's sin, which is a separation between Adam and Eve, in which he blames Eve for his actions. And you also see in God's curse in Genesis 3 a separation from the world, in which Adam is separated from the environment in which he's in. His labor becomes difficult. Now, all of that culminates in the fact that Adam is spiritually dead. Doesn't mean that he's not active spiritually, but he means that all that he does spiritually is it still in rebellion against God. He has no motive for God's glory. The other is that he is depraved in his lust. He seeks to do his own pleasure. We also know that he is under the influence of Satan, and ultimately he is under the judgment of God for eternity. And so the consequences, when Adam partook of the fruit, he had no idea of the ramifications of what he was doing. And so the consequences are numerous, manifold. Only Christ can redeem us from those consequences.
You know, many Christians thinking about sin actually are only thinking about sins. They think about the individual acts and things we do that they know are wrong, sins of omission, things that we should do, we don't do, or sins of commission, the bad things we do, we know we ought not to do. But sin in the Scripture, first of all, starts with something that is infinite. And the reality is that what we have in Genesis 3 is not just Adam and Eve each committing a sin. It is humanity in Adam and Eve, particularly in Adam, falling into sin. It is giving ourselves over to sin. You know, the background of this is the holiness of God. The holiness of God is infinite. The righteousness and justice of God are infinite. So sin is an assault upon His infinite glory, His infinite holy, His infinite righteousness. And so it brings very devastating consequences. You cannot insult the infinite glory of God without dramatic consequences. You cannot rob God of His glory, as Paul describes the fall and human sinfulness and depravity in Romans chapter 1, without grave consequences. The Lord Himself warned Adam that there would be consequences to his sin. And what happened in the fall, in Adam's sin, is that in Adam, we not only sinned, but we bear the consequences of that sin. The consequences for Adam and Eve were immediate. The moment they ate of that fruit, they started to die. Mortality entered into them. And so all of a sudden, the word death now enters into the human scene, and it's directly attributable to sin. But it's not just death. It's violence. It's catastrophe. It's the existence of carnivores and viruses. It's the problem of mosquitoes and murder. All that we see around us bears testimony to the effects, the devastating effects of human sin and God's judgment upon that sin. It's cosmic. There are hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. There are lightning flashes and all kinds of things that take place in the created order that are testimony to, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, creation groaning for the appearing of the sons of men. You know, what we see in Genesis chapter 3 is a very straightforward and honest presentation of the consequences of sin. But you know, there are Christians who read Genesis 3 and think that's all there is. But you come to read the totality of Scripture, you come, for instance, to the last chapters of the book of Revelation, and you come to understand that the wrath of God poured out upon sin is going to make Genesis 3 look like just an introduction. This is what makes our salvation so important, so precious to us, is that our salvation is not just being saved, it's being saved from something. It's being saved from the wrath to come, from the just consequences of our sin. And not only do we need to be redeemed, but as the book of Revelation makes clear, so does creation itself. That's why it speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. The consequences of sin are not just the fact that it rains on the just and the unjust, and we have death in our bodies and a need for salvation. It's that every part of this created order is now waiting for a consummation, a judgment, and a perfection that only Christ can bring.